Hey everybody around the world, this is Sunshiny Day. Welcome to Yamsie Day. You are my Sunshiny Day. I am Sunshiny Day, also known as everybody around the world. So on today's podcast, we're going to talk about being vegan, being not vegan, the challenges of being vegan, late night eating, how we're connected and not connected to all our foods. So today on today's podcast, I have Kiki and Vin. So I'm going to start this off with a little background. So about 4 years ago, I started a process of really realizing that I had to be the one to put the work into my actual body as far as taking care of it health-wise, physically, mentally, spiritually, all the above, in order to actually live a healthy, maintaining lifestyle. I started with an insane cleanse called a master cleanse. I did the extreme version because that's just who I am, and I'm extremist. I go from one extreme to the other. I think a lot of people can relate to that. That sparked me doing a 40-day cleanse, which entailed just a lemonade mix of lemon juice, cayenne pepper, and organic grade B maple syrup. It was very intense. After that, I started exercising and realized that I could actually start moving because I was losing fat that was restricting my physical capabilities. And it was a desire that you want. You have to want a change. You need to spark a change. That being said, we go forward 4 years and I'm vegan now. I've been vegan for about a year and a half. It's not just a cut and dry type thing. There's very many variations of being vegan, and I don't think there's just one definition of being vegan, just like there's not one definition of anything. Like, we are all different sizes and shapes and forms and come in many different forms, shapes, and sizes. That being said, it's been a struggle. I'm still human. I'm still part of the human fabric. Just because I'm vegan, yes, that makes me a little more different and a little more apprehensive to what people want to say and everything. And people start putting you in a box because they don't understand you. They put you in a box because they're like, oh, I need to understand this for myself. But they don't realize that's harm for themselves and the person they're doing it to.
Ms. Sunshine.
Yes.
Can I start by saying thank you for having me? It's Kiki Kinks. Kiki.
And thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I'm so happy to be here.
Likewise.
It's my first podcast.
First of many. And we also have Vin with us as well.
Hey guys. Yes, Vin. My first podcast as well. Thank you for having me, Sunshine.
Why, thank you for being here. So, No, the audience knows that I'm vegan. What are your lifestyle stances and choices as far as food? And where do you stand with food?
Listen, vegan goddess, can we also start by saying happy birthday?
Why, thank you. Thank you.
Yes, happy birthday. Yes.
Yes.
It's a big day.
Give it up for Miss Sunshine. It's going to be a great day in New Orleans or wherever you are in the world tomorrow because Sunshine's birthday, so she's going to shine extra bright tomorrow.
Yes.
Just saying.
We are going to do that. Oh, my goodness.
All right, vegan, let's go. Give it to me, Barbara.
So what is your lifestyle as far as food comes? Are you connected to your food? Are you not connected to your food?
I love food. I'm a foodie. I try to be as connected as I can with my food.
What makes a foodie?
A foodie, in my opinion, once upon a time, a foodie is someone who has an appreciation for food, but it goes past that. Where is the food from? Is it from the table? Is it Cisco, a truck, you know, aka, is it like a Rally's, a Checkers, a White Castle, this and the third, all right? I'm a foodie because I love food, and I love all those things I just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a household where it was very what's the word I'm looking for? It very strict food-wise, all right? I was a health nut before I even knew or wanted to be a health nut.
Now, do we use the term health nut because we view people that are on a different level of being health differently, so we have to classify them to make ourselves feel better because we're not on that level?
These days, yes. Absolutely. I'm talking like late 90s, early 2000s.
Of course.
But, yeah, you know, I eat meat. I even partake in a cheeseburger from McDonald's, a quarter pounder, yeah. Do I love it? Yes. Do I hate it? Yes.
Well, why for both?
Guilty pleasure. It's a guilty pleasure of what I've been raised on. Then, have you been raised Absolutely. On that same thing?
Yeah.
I love eating it. I was, like, I didn't eat pepperoni. I didn't eat, like, any kind of pork till I was pretty much in college.
Mm-hmm.
And not for religious reasons. I remember going to a party when I was 12 years old. It was in the Bronx. We went over to the highway portion. It was this gorgeous condo. We're 12, by the way. It's a party for the adults.
Okay.
And the sandwiches back in the day before you bought, like, your kids whatever, like a fake Ferrari car or, like, cupcakes that come on a popsicle. They were, like, ham and cheese sandwiches as for the kids.
Right.
And I remember I had that two slices of white bread, and I saw the ham and the cheese, and I was going for it. And I remember Mom, right before I went, so I had to have a cheese sandwich. So it was like, that was like, not bullying, but like that shame forever of like, damn, how dare you deny me that ham? Everyone, all the kids are having the ham and cheese, and I'm having like a fucking slice of yellow American cheese between two breads. Oh, that's your kitty.
Okay. But did your mother explain to you why you couldn't have
pork? Yes, because she explained the importance of how, and this is going back to like late 80s, whole 90s, early 2000s, pork and like, you know, at first, how they're raised and the elements that they live in.
Mm.
And then as she evolved in her research of like life and animals and eating, not only that, what's injected into them and the things that you think that you're getting sold on, how they like, just the whole process, you know?
Correct.
Me, I raised against it, and when I had a pepperoni slice of pizza for my first time, I loved it. Pepperoni, and who can deny the smell of bacon? Who can deny the smell of bacon? You know, well, I'm going back again.
Right, of course.
You know?
Of course.
I still don't, and I never have. For my mother, it's always been like the neighbor or like a cousin or an auntie who was like, here's a pork chop. Don't tell your mom. You know, those are the only times I've had pork chops. Right. And to this day, if I ever have a pork chop, I feel like I'm cheating. It's not something that I search out in the grocery store,
right.
You know?
Right.
I'm like, oh, you know?
Absolutely. Right.
And
that's because you were learned that.
Exactly. And did I need it? No.
Right.
You know? Fast forward and just in life. We have beef, sea, air, chicken, and fish. That was totally backwards. Land, sea, and air. My bad.
And Vin, what about you? What was your structure of eating growing up?
I mean, growing up, I was from a family of hunters.
What does that mean?
So, like, I go to my aunt's house at like 4 years old, and I go in the backyard. She had a huge, you know, 5 acres of land of her own. And then, you know,
endless fields around her and go hunting. Like, we'd have venison all the time growing up. And I never knew.
Venison, it's like deer. Baby deer again.
No, deer.
Oh.
Like, you know, and...
That's the cooking term for deer.
Yeah. And okay. From as long as I've known, like, that's what we would do. And we...
Do you like it? Did you like it?
I loved it, yeah. And that's what I grew up on. Same with cows. She had a farm. She had cows. She had cows that she milked, and she had cows that fed. See,
in my head, family. That's a good cow.
You right. know?
They don't do
had,
that.
They anymore. Had both, you know, mm-hmm. that they had. And that's the milk cows, and there was the meat cows. And that's what I grew up with, you know?
And did they use and all of the whole product? Animal?
Yes, everything was always used.
Cool.
So it was always what I grew up on. And nothing else, nothing outside of that, really. I mean, yeah, chickens, turkeys, you know, deer, cow. Never really knew much more than that, you know? And, like, at home, like, we weren't a rich family, so we made whatever was in the house mm-hmm. edible, you know? Right. And, uh-huh. But we did go out a lot to, like, you know, coming home from the baseball game where we all worked, Burger King or McDonald's, or go to Ponderosa for the big buffet because it was right. the cheapest thing around, you know? But we could have, like, a nice meal, but a lot of it was, like, meat. So not the best meat, but it was meat. And then when I moved to New York City, I discovered what food was, but it was still heavy in the, you know, within meat. I worked in a French restaurant for 6 years. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things to eat was steak tartare. I mean, raw steak, you know, it was mm-hmm. like right there. Or our duck, you know, duck confit with,
yeah, oh you know, my God, duck
potatoes
confit.
And frise salad with blue cheese. Right. Amazing.
Hurt.
Ate way too much meat during that time, but I did love it.
Great.
But, and then I went, you know, on a weight loss challenge myself, going through that in 2011. And I did the South Beach diet. So you cut out a lot of stuff. You cut out a lot of carbs, a lot of red meat. And my body was like, what are you doing to yourself?
Right.
And it took like 2 to 3 weeks to, you know, not be starving all the time.
Correct.
But it was...
Would you say...
It was hard. Yeah. It was a challenge. But, I mean, I did it for three
how
months.
How long did it stay off, though? You know, and
right,
your
exactly.
Body
I did it for 3 months, and I lost 65 pounds. And I kept it off for, like, about a year and a half. And then I was like, nope, I gained almost all of it back and a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then I did Barry's Boot Camp and started... exercising a lot.
Sunshine. Yes. Like, you're going to get right back on point, but can I say, like, while we're here, like, that it's like yo-yo.
It
yo-yoing.
Is.
And, like,
it really is.
I guess we're kind of blessed. Like, these days, you can take a kid to, like, the doctor and put several needles to know what you're allergic to.
Correct.
And the only thing, going back to, like, growing up, you know, that... And then introducing your body into, like, dairy again.
Right.
Or eggs. That's, like, the test of, like, oh, wait, I might be allergic to that. Or that's what's good. Oh, coffee. Or, you know.
Correct. Well, I'm expanding on that. So I have
meat.
I have a question to pose. This is rhetorical as well as if you have any thoughts on this. Do we concur... that diet and lifestyle are separate and also one. And realizing that your diet affects your lifestyle and you can do a completely diet by itself and a whole complete lifestyle by itself as well. But usually there's not a harmonious connection between the two when that happens. And that you're the whole, people use diet willy-nilly and loosely and think that
agreed.
They can just put magic pills into their body
mm-hmm.
when diet comes down to meaning what is maintaining your body to actually
inside and
keep
out.
You surviving.
Mm-hmm.
Diet is your lifestyle. That is part of one of my main triggers is I'm not just dieting. I've changed my lifestyle. I'm choosing not to eat meat for
mm-hmm.
a plethora of reasons, which mm-hmm. is a whole nother... segments.
Yeah. I mean, I
dieting and lifestyle.
Yes.
I mean,
if and I don't know, I'm sure you're going to expand on it later, but dieting a lifestyle, it's a huge thing. Like, between Ben and Kiki, like, working out would be one thing, and you know what, we better damn sure be working out, because if you're eating rallies two nights in a row, I know how I feel when I wake up. We've had this conversation. Absolutely. You know, we eat it and we wake up and we just feel a lot more sluggish. Things aren't regular when we're sitting. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's, I'm sure, have you just starved?
Oh, because, yeah. And I've experimented too.
Not go and eat and just starve and go to bed. You know, I would. Because that after effect, starving is a lot more better than like that morning and that whole.
Absolutely. And that's what I was going to say with like lifestyle change. I mean, yeah, I dieted, I exercised, and it was always like at different times. But when I started doing like the gym and the boot camp and everything like that, with the diet, that's what I felt like my whole.
That was.
Everything changed.
Right.
Like. Yeah. The energy, some of those the waking up early, you know, the going to bed, like not wanting to like go out as much, like everything changed, and I just felt like I was getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym before work at 10. Like what? Who was like? But everything, but it felt good, and I felt great, and I was seeing the like everything happening.
Right. Well, and let me challenge you with this as far as a form of thinking, and this isn't necessary for response. Don't think of your diet being connected to just physical exercise. Your diet is connected to you no matter what you're doing or not doing.
Absolutely.
And that's absolutely. Just... And that's
I'm
just,
raising my hands right now because...
And that's just a challenge. your thought pattern.
But that's even harder.
It is.
I'm not saying it's easy. Yeah. But if you can start challenging yourself that way...
Like doing 20 push-ups a day... And the more when you wake up,
it's, right? But it becomes routine, and then it starts becoming repetitious.
Right, yep. Right. That's what I hear.
It's all about discipline.
Not dieting, not exercising in a while, eating a salad at work today. I was like, oh my god, I miss greens so much. And then 45 minutes later, I'm at work, and I'm like, oh, I'm so hungry right now, you know. But my body was just has not been used to it. I mean,
that's a lot of food too.
It's just
the meat and it feels so heavy when you're eating that meat.
But it was so good. I was so happy and like excited to have that. But my body had not been used to it, so it was like, this is nothing. Right. Like I need substance, you know.
Can I get OT? I know you have questions.
Well, I was going
to... Just don't forget to remind me the difference of, like, being fatigued and eating a salad, but knowing what you can put as a vegan into a salad that makes you feel hearty and healthy. Because those are things I do want to know. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah.
And that kind of segues into what I wanted to say is, like, it goes back to the old adage, you are what you eat. It's so simple, but it's extremely true. You are what you eat. It's very, very simple. Before I answer your question on how you can sustain yourself and all that, and we will later with that, you know. When I was about 12, my mom introduced me to Flaming Hot Cheetos. And I became extremely addicted to Flaming Hot Cheetos without realizing I was addicted to Flaming Hot Cheetos. And I was always giving them to me. And without realizing it, they slowly became a mainstay of a food of mine. If I was hungry, that was what I was going to eat. And that was a huge part of my diet for a long time.
So like the same facsimile of like a Doritos, if you will.
Correct. Yeah. And I didn't realize how much damage that had done to me until later. And it wasn't until I moved to New Orleans that when I had this whole transformation and lifestyle change and a conscious change of what I'm doing and everything, that I was like, I cannot continue to eat these and expect a different result because that's just insanity.
But aren't we all insane in so many ways?
Of course. But
so it took like really caring right. about, like, this is my
right.
my life, my body, my it's me.
Exactly. So,
because we do a lot of things over and over.
Well, and that's why I'm going back to this insanity, is I gave this up. Word. And then this year, I got really confident with body loss and everything. And I don't know what happened. The fat kid came out of me one day, and I had a bag of Flaming Hot Cheetos, and it set an affair for about 7 months. And so now I haven't had any for about 2 months, but like, down here. Yeah. But the thing is, what I've learned from it is how disgusting I felt. And I do not miss that and don't want to go back to that. I realized that it was the drugs that were in the food, like MSG and sugars and all that. And I want to recreate that flavor, but in a natural way that satiates me. Because one thing I've learned about myself is I have an insatiable palate for sweets and spicy. So, going back to answer your question about how to be sustained and have energy throughout the day, depending on how you eat, and this is all a journey. You have to figure out what works for you. Mm-hmm. Just because someone says something works for them does not mean it's going to work for you.
Yeah.
You every exactly. body and everybody exactly. is different. It works in a no different matter way.
Your color, where you're from,
your creed, sex, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
We all operate exactly. in a similar manner, but we all operate differently.
But what works for you?
Correct. That being said, the whole Flaming Hot Cheetos was an experiment, because I'm learning what foods due to my body.
I'm kind of glad that you went through that down here, because you wouldn't have known
exactly
if you hadn't gone through it down here.
Right. So what was your question as far as salads? What you can put on top of them?
Yours was, you were asking like,
yeah,
what
so
what
you
foods,
have a salad,
you know, right? What
work.
Like what vegan foods?
You wouldn't
would
say cheese, but they have
sustain energy okay. and you know feel more full.
Okay.
Like, you know,
a salad of like a chickpea.
Correct. For me, so for example, we'll take a local example. There's a restaurant called Felipe's down on Decatur Street in the French Quarter, which we go to for break.
Felipe's.
And cheers.
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 And so we go over there for break, and being from New Mexico, I go there partly because of the spice flavor. I'm able to create it in my own way.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, the little bar that they have with like the things you can
correct.
Put on. Yeah, I love that part.
So you have to be imaginative, because one of the things you have to play around with is, Why is meat sustainable? Why is meat sustainable to you? Mm. Okay, well, first off, does meat make you sustainable? Make you feel sustainable?
What do you mean, what kind of meat?
Like, does meat give
as
you...
As a...
Does it give you the feeling of being able to continue with your day and being able to function?
Well, as a gay, black, left-handed man living in society, meat does. But okay. What kind of meat are we talking about?
The ones that are destroying
beef,
our world besides
chicken,
man.
Lamb.
All right. Anyway, so I'm going back. Okay.
Italian.
We're going back to Felipe's. So.
Just keep the energy, but I mean, there's also times where if I eat too much meat, like I have like.
Red meat?
You know,
absolutely.
It's like the meat
for
sweats.
Red meat?
I want
absolutely.
To go into a coma,
correct.
You know? But.
Right.
There's also,
right.
I feel like it gives me a little more. I feel full. Or more full so than if I have like a salad, or it lasts longer.
Right.
So I'm out here, I'm like, I'm like the hunger pains where I'm running, like I'm like,
correct.
I need to eat, I'm so hungry
mm-hmm.
right now, right?
But
I have,
outside
like,
of
meat,
this, outside
I can
of
like
steak,
last a couple
man,
hours.
Outside of a steak, what's the only thing? And you, I think you would agree, and you will. You used to eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of a steak, the only thing that used to sustain me and still does is like, a good fit of like two cans of tuna,
mm-hmm.
one to two cans of tuna with the filler. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you doll it up, whether it's a sandwich or by itself.
Right.
You're full,
mm-hmm.
somewhat energized, and you get your protein and all like little things that you need outside of what you're already doing. I don't feel like I would get that from a steak, but we still eat it.
Well, to go back to fully answer your question, so
full statement. Sorry.
No, you're fine. So there's a thing I get, which is the Indian taco. It's made of fried bread.
Mm-hmm.
That's redundant. Whatever. It's fried bread, and it's filled with you know, lettuce and all the greens, and then I don't get any of the animal products. I don't get cheese or anything, and I get extra veggies and black beans or whatever kind of beans you want on top of it.
See, that sounds so boring right now to me.
But it's not, because then, you know, like, if it's not spicy enough, they have the salsa bar. So then you can just dump shit on it. So, for me, what fills me is the heavy proteins, and I'll get to that in a second, which, like, legumes and broccoli and, like, avocado. Mm. So, you have your heavy proteins and your light proteins. Your heavier proteins are going to be, like, avocados and bananas and potatoes and yams, the starches and the proteins that your body has to, like, work a little bit more for. Your light proteins are going to be, like, your melons and your watermelon and more things that are made with water-based. Because your body can burn through that sugar, and it's hydrating you for the most part.
Okay.
Whereas the other proteins, that's going to be more your filler. That's primarily what you'd be eating in the winter, because your body needs the proteins, because as a natural
carnivore
effect, our bodies go into hibernation, because that's what we used to do back in the day. We just don't do that anymore, per se. So to fully answer your question, for myself, legumes, beans, the heavier proteins fulfill me. But I also have to be careful on what I'm ingesting when I'm ingesting. I can only really take on the heavy proteins when I'm actually really, really hungry. If I try to take them on when I'm not hungry, I get lethargic, but not in the same way as meat makes me lethargic. I just... I can't, I can have, like, one or two bites, but then my body's like, we're not hungry for that. And so my body is...
because of the change?
It is because of the change. Okay. And not the sex change, but... but yes, it's because of the change. So to fully answer your question, for me, it's more the legumes and the heavier proteins that satiate me. Mm. As far as natural sweets, it's... I have had to switch to, like, honey and nectar agave.
Can I ask one question before you go into sweets? So, like, when your body says, I'm actually not hungry for this, whether it's vegan, but, like, you know, your lifestyle now.
Correct.
And you've also gone through a lot, and now this is your lifestyle with it all. Hungry and not hungry, what happens, or what do you use, I would say, like, if you're not having, like, not necessarily a steak or a burger, but, like, that protein or that vitamin that comes from a certain thing that you've now cut out of your life? What vitamins do you take, or supplements, or things of that nature?
Vitamins and supplements I do not take, because I believe that if balanced just right, you can sustain all those elements from just eating the food. Because I'm adapting that philosophy that food and water are, how do I want to say it? Are demigods of sorts, because they control the output and input of our bodies.
The OGs of this.
Correct. And so if we're going to put crap into our body, we're going to run crappily. Whereas if we're actually putting things into our body that our body needs, we're going to run efficiently. Like getting an oil change, it's going to run efficiently. What was your question?
You just answered it.
Okay.
Pretty much of, like, you're not eating beef, you're not eating meat.
How do you maintain those,
like,
levels?
It really comes down to listening to your body. You have to And this is a personal thing. It has to be a personal thing for everybody, but we can all unite on everything. It just comes from a different stance. For me and myself, it's a journey, and I'm still learning what satiates me, what's my triggers. One of my biggest challenges at the moment is white refined sugar. White refined sugar is in everything.
That's the devil.
I, fortunately, because of all the transformations and everything I've gone through, have a natural cap on sugar now, because my palate on my tongue will tell me that it's fermented and I can no longer ingest it. So
that's another podcast, by the way, knowing your body and knowing what it's saying, right. Yes or no, listen to it.
So it's all very connected. It's all very connected.
Like refined sugar. Mm-mm.
Right. So I have one more final question before we end this podcast, because this is just the beginning of many. My question is, does late night eating have to be unhealthy? And can it be healthy readily available? That's a trick question.
Oof. Okay, you know what? I'll start. Then you want to, like, come in for the clothes. No, it doesn't.
Why is it so widely accepted to be that it's unhealthy?
Being born and raised in New York, growing up in Jersey, why do all the good places have to close when you think strollers and quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, adults go to bed? And the only thing that's open is like a Chinese shop, the bodega, or the other joint that has like fried chicken brothers. No. And that pisses me off sometimes. And that's why I eat so bad. Late night, you get home from a club or a benefit or whatever, and you're like, oh, they're open. I just got out the cab. I'm not going to walk fucking 6 blocks to that joint in this moment. Give it to me.
Yeah, I mean, late night eating didn't used to be a thing. Our parents, our grandparents, there wasn't a late night eating. Dinner was at 6 o'clock, dinner was at 7 o'clock. Before 8 o'clock, generally, always. You go to bed and you had your 8 hours of sleep. You wake up in the morning, you have your coffee and your breakfast.
What do you think changed that?
You had your 8 hours of sleep. What changed it was survival for jobs-wise, honestly. You had people now working, you know, the overnight shifts. You have people more in the restaurants, so they're open later. It's, you know, fitting in when you can fit in. And it definitely changed, I feel, you know, that late night eating now is the okay. Because this is when, you know, when you're working in a restaurant, especially at night, midnight, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you know, you get out. Unfortunately, things that cook quickly are bad things for you. So you know,
not always.
But frozen food or burgers or chicken or this or to grab it really quickly. You know,
just have to look at things differently.
But then, you know, right? But that's just, like, but easy, convenient, but easy, and cheap,
healthy foods are more expensive in general. Other than what you talked about this the other day, you know, if you find the right places that will have it settled in bulk. But it is. In late night eating, you generally, or I have, or friends have, associate with, you know, you've been out drinking for the night, you know, and so the next, what you want to do is you want to, you know, dive into, you know, a big juicy burger or a fried chicken or, you know, a pile of bacon and pancakes, you know, and it's kind of generally what's been drilled into so many of our heads, because it's there, it's easy, you get out. What's open? Right. McDonald's, Burger King, Denny's, a breakfast joint, you know, anything like that. And so late night eating, has a very negative or bad, you know, food for you. Not, you know, when you go out, hey, where are we going to go to eat at midnight? You don't think of going to like a vegan restaurant or, you know, a vegetarian restaurant or anything.
Correct.
That's not the first thing that would pop into your head.
Correct.
And I think that's just kind of what's been drilled in your head from any TV show, you know, every TV show you see or anything.
Right.
It's just that, yeah. So healthy eating at late night is not
an option.
Not an option
in this city. It's not an option.
Right.
Even uptown.
Right.
It's not an option. Absolutely. Even and especially in the quarter, it's definitely not an option.
Or in New York. We're
in the Marinades. We are on the tracks, and that's not an option.
And if you think most cities, places close by 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You don't have an option to go late night anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you don't have it at home, you're not. You know, and it's just that's just how it's been. But hopefully,
things are turning around,
and you know, we can fit it in.
That's
you
what know, I love. What everybody you are doing because yes. we need those options, or we need like less of like this negative above our grade influence is trying to like continue to poison us. And the thing is, I'm so aware about it in my age and how I've lived and just my research, but it bugs me because I'm still doing it, you know, so there. And so like, I am ready for that alternative. That's why another thing that like sparks from you is just like, it's that time, because you know what, it's now. Because
all you got are your now moments.
You remember like growing up in the cafeteria and things of that nature? And then I would say like once we got into our like 20s, people, you know, your nieces, your nephews,
right.
That's 10 years old. Mm-hmm. It's the hormones and the fucking meat that they give them in the cafeterias.
Mm-hmm.
That's what 10 year olds looks like now. Oh, 10 years now, 14? That's 14?
It's true.
Yeah.
I thought she was 18. No, she's only 15.
Yeah.
It's the hormones that they're feeding them in these cafeterias now.
That's true.
We kind of got a little... We had canned spinach, all right? We got away somewhat lucky.
We had pouches of chocolate milk. You stuck a straw in.
Oh, I missed those. I do miss those, though.
It's very true.
Can you eat chocolate? Can you drink chocolate milk?
No milk.
Almond milk.
Oh, I don't really do soy, but yes, we'll do
almond milk.
I just got into almond milk. I love soy milk, but I don't do soy. Here's the rumor, you know, before the rumor became a rumor, if you do too much of it, then...
That's with anything.
Right.
Everything in moderation,
exactly.
Even moderation.
Exactly. I love soy milk, chocolate soy milk.
It could be a thing. It could be a thing. Well, everybody around the world, this is Sunshiny Day. This is Kiki and Vin. We're going to have many discussions about food, as you should, and you should be conscious about what you're putting inside your body. Mm-hmm. Because remember, it affects and everything you do physically, mentally, and humanly connected as you should be with your fellow humans. So again, this is Sunshiny Day. Remember, spread the positivity, feed the love, do not ignore the it, embrace it, realize that it is there, but do not feed it. The more you feed it, the bigger it grows. The same with love. The more love we have, the more we can build each other up and make things better. So go spread the love. Until next time.